Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 here as we inch closer to the NFL draft, just 30 days away here. I'm your host, Xander Krause. That's my co-host, John McMullen. We're here to kick off another Birds 365 for you. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Tuesday morning, brother?
Better than yesterday. Not rainy. So that cheers me up a little bit.
Yesterday was a nasty day out, wasn't it?
Nasty day. Good description. So turning, and the Eagles got another player. The clearance aisle offseason continues. Little swing tackle action. 32-year-old swing tackle.
Yeah.
Kendall Lamb. So, guys played a lot of football. Coming off a back injury, coming off back surgery. So, they had him in for a workout. Had to take a look at him. Had to have the medical people look at where he is, but evidently all things are a go. Guy started 44 NFL games, so good safety net. Again, you hope some of the younger players, seize a moment, but if they can't, there's a consistent theme to this offseason for the Eagles.
Yes, there is, and they just added to it with an offensive tackle, as Johnny Mack mentioned, in Kendall Lamb. John, what do you like? You like this signing? I think he's a good guy for Jeff Stoutland's room. I know he's a little older, 32 years old. That's a little against the theme that they've gone with, but what do you think of him and the fit with Jeff Stoutland in that coveted offensive line room? That seems like every offensive lineman would dream of playing in that room based on, just what Mekhi Becton was able to do and what a lot of people are able to do coming out of there.
Yeah, well, I never worry about a fit with Jeff Stoutland because he's going to figure out, what the best path forward is for anybody. He's going to maximize what they have. But, more from the fit standpoint, as you mentioned, age, this is obviously a short-term thing. But again, if you're talking about losing Fred Johnson, it's a little bit underrated, I think, by the fan base. Now, this guy's probably better, still at his age. So if you're looking at a game day swing tackle, which always you hope Jordan Mailata's out there, you hope Lane Johnson's out there for the whole season. Last year, that wasn't the case. Fred had started 6 games, 5 that mattered, and held up pretty well. And if a similar situation would develop next year, this guy's probably better equipped to be more consistent, I would say, from week to week, but maybe not have the upside of Fred against Trey Hendrickson when he was really amped up for whatever reason, played really well. But he didn't do that every week. I think this guy would have a more smooth seas, more calm presence, I would say.
Right, with less with less upside. He's not going to be a tremendous player, but he will be a consistent good player, reliable, I guess you could say, right? A reliable and smart with solid technique. But for those who don't know, 32-year-old Kendall Lamb, all right, he's 6'5", 310. How about that? He went to college at Appalachian State. Johnny Mack, a little App State coming in, 9 NFL years, and he was undrafted free agent in 2015. So he now joins the Philadelphia Eagles to bolster the depth on the offensive line room. John, I still think they're a little thin at that O-line room. How are you feeling about the depth in that room as we stand today on March 25th?
Yeah, they got to add, I think, a little bit. I think you're right. But from the standpoint of outside, I think they're pretty good, when you have but again, you'd prefer a younger player step up. Maybe that's not possible. This is obviously not a guy who's going to be here for a long period of time. But when we talk about the draft-proofing aspect of it, this enables you to say, we can take it easy there now. And you don't have to worry about drafted in a swing tackle or a potential swing tackle on day three. They have a lot of, you know, the Darian Kennards of the world. You know, Brett Toth, he's been here for a very long time now. Trevor Keegan. The one glaring absence, I would say, is center, backup center, but Nick Gates now gone. But, you know, they've already shown what they do at center. They just moved Landon at center, and then you would have, whether it's Tyler Steen, Kenyon Green, Darian Kennard. I think they have plenty, but you have to see who's going to step up. And it'd be nice to find somebody who can take center snaps. Brett can do it. I don't know if they're comfortable with that in an actual game. And, you know, the Eagles' best center might be their backup center, and their starting center is a Pro Bowl center. So, those are rich people's problems.
Right. The whole offseason is rich people problems, John. Let's be real.
I mean, Landon Dickerson is what I was saying, is probably the best center they have, and he doesn't even play center. And the guy they have playing center is in the Pro Bowl center.
So right.
Those are rich people problems.
Yes, they are. No doubt about it. As I mentioned, I think the whole offseason is freaking rich people problems. We're such a damn good team. We got to get rid of some roster turnover, and it all hurts because the team was so good, so stacked, and so deep. I mean, even losing your swing tackle, your swing cornerback, you know, people are like, oh, what are we going to do without him? So I'm with you. I think it's for sure rich people problems. But anyway, they bolster the room. John, you put out yesterday, I didn't see the name, you put out another guy who was in to visit the Eagles on a top 30 visit, and he was a defensive end, an edge player. Who was it that visited yesterday? I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name. I have it written down.
Elijah Roberts from SMU.
There you go.
You know, if you want to look at it from an old school standpoint, he's more of a five technique defensive end, bigger guy, which, again, I'd like to add some size to that edge group. And he's a big guy. So not the explosive, not first round pick. He's not in the conversation to be number 32 if they stay at 32, but would have some of that Brandon Graham-like versatility to play outside. And if you had to move him inside, he could do that. Interesting player, and I think they need some size up front. You know, I don't like going into a season with Nolan Smith and Jalik Hunt, Aziz Ojulari as your top three edge rushers at 240. You know, Jalik will probably be 260, I would think, by the time he shows up, because at least he has the frame. But
he's pretty big dude, John, Jalik Hunt. Like, he was towering over Brandon Graham.
Tall.
Yeah, he's tall. Not as stocky yet, but he's definitely.
Oh, he's got the frame to add weight. Right. Yeah, he's got the frame. I've mentioned that pretty consistently, but he hasn't added it yet. So until you see it, you know, like I always say, Bryce Huff is short, but you know he's there. Brandon Graham is a better example. He's short, but he's big dude, strong. And I think they need more of that. And this guy would provide that physical presence. Obviously, it's all about can you play, can't you play. But, you know, after the first four were offensive linemen, here we go, defensive linemen. So, you know. It's going to be a lot of offensive and defensive linemen.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be, a trench draft through and through. And, John, when you look at it, I do want to get into the draft a little bit. We got some great topics. I want to welcome everybody in today on a Tuesday edition, 30 days and 12 hours from the NFL draft, all right? 30 days and 12 hours from the NFL draft. So get ready, everybody. It's inching closer and closer. Who will the Eagles add this year? It's been – I'm thinking this year is going to be not a letdown at the draft, but we have had some good years of draft, John. We've had like multiple years of two number ones. We traded for AJ Brown. We got Devontae Smith, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, all these fun picks. I don't think it's going to be as fun this year, but I think we still get some good players in the draft. So looking forward to that in just 30 days from now. John, I was looking at the top board of defensive tackle players in this draft. I don't know how many of these guys are going to even be in range. I mean, we've talked about Walter Nolan extensively. I've seen him fall in some mock drafts, but I think he could go earlier than we think. You look at Mason Graham. He's a guy who's way up the board. Kenneth Grant. I mean, all these dudes are you know, two Michigan guys, obviously. Derek Harmon. You got Tyleek Williams from Ohio State. TJ Sanders. After that, there's a little bit of a fall off, but I could see those top three, four guys going early in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking the edge, I think, you know, your hope would be that Pierce or Stewart drop, but I don't think either of them will. It's generally a position where people are going to reach more than they're going to let things hang around. So then you start looking at the second tier, which is, you know, guys like Landon Jackson and Nick Scourton and all those guys, and I don't think they'd be worthy of 32. Jack Sawyer's a guy for the same reason. I talked about the kid from SMU who's got some size, some power. I think that would be a welcome. Kyle Kinnard from South Carolina, the Eagles were down at their pro day asking around about him. But those are not 32 potentials.
Right.
And I think if you say who could be there at 32, all right, there's Abdul Carter. No. Mike Green, no. And then it's Pierce, Ezeraku, Williams from Georgia. They'd love that, obviously. Stewart. And that's probably it. So what, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Will 6 go in the top 31? Maybe somebody falls. You know, nobody thought Quinyon would fall to 22 last year. Of course, I don't expect the draft to start with whatever 15 offensive players, because Abdul Carter's up there, but like it was last year. But could one of those 6 fall? I guess in theory, but remember, the assumption is the Eagles like all 6. They probably don't. You know, there's probably 1 or 2 in there. They say, you know, that guy's overrated. That guy's over. So you're probably really talking about 4. And we know one of them's Carter, which they're not getting. And then you're down to 3. See how difficult it is?
Yeah, it's hard, man.
That's sort of – and then you start talking about, all right, if the guy you want, you don't want to reach, you don't want to take Jack Sawyer or Scourton, then you trade down, yada, yada, yada. So that's sort of how it works out. But again, there's other positions involved as well. There might be a defensive tackle that they like there. They might be an offensive lineman they like there. So it all factors in. But you know, there's certain positions that are going to be a heavier emphasis than others. So you just play the odds, I would say.
No doubt about it. It's going to be interesting to see. John, who, in your opinion, fits this defense? Because, you know, a lot of people, I think, love to look at the talent of players or, you know, the combine or the skill set. And I think you got to get a guy that fits your system, a guy that's going to excel in your system. When you look at these defensive line players, does anybody jump out like, oh, I'd love to see him in Vic Fangio's system? I think he would work well here. Does anybody fit, in your opinion, that jumps off the page at you?
I don't know them, so I would say the smart guy. I don't know who the smart guy is.
Okay,
it's funny. Great. It's funny you brought up Seth Payne was talking about Vic yesterday on Ross Tucker's podcast. Seth, longtime defensive lineman, was with Vic in Houston when Vic was down there, and he was talking about how we made him an extra few million dollars and how he didn't even know you could play defensive line a certain way until he got under Vic Fangio, who had a rule book of sort of when you have to stay disciplined, 2-gap it, 1.5-gap. Vic hates that, but that's what everybody thinks. 1.5-gap versus being aggressive, depending on the coverage you're playing, that's called in back of you, depending on what the offensive formation is. And Seth went to Cornell, so I'm guessing he's pretty smart.
pretty smart, but wasn't taught all the football stuff.
Exactly. But you know, when Vic sees somebody like that, he opens up sort of the ability to do some different things. And I thought it was an interesting, because you don't hear a lot. When everybody talks about Vic, they talk about coverage, 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 all the coverages. But even up front, he does things differently. And he always has. I always talk about the five-man front, rolled out the six-man front that he did against the Rams back in the day that sort of stifled them against New Orleans. And obviously, the more traditional, and he tries to marry, you know, some of the things I always talk about. Like, you rarely hear me talk about 4-3 and 3-4 because nobody plays that anymore. But you'll hear it everywhere else. It drives me insane. But the concepts of the old school 3-4 defensive ends versus 4-3 defensive ends and defensive tackles, he tries to mesh those two things together as best as possible. And so, you know, if you're capable of understanding all that stuff, and it's not about going to Cornell, because there aren't, you know, Jalex Hunt went to Cornell, but
my grandfather went to Cornell. Shout out to my grandfather.
Yeah, there aren't going to be a lot of Ivy League players, but it's about football IQ. Like, Jalen Carter has a high football IQ. And you could see what Vic Fangio did for him in 1 year. And that's a guy with talent, so it shows up. Not that Seth didn't have talent, but not at that level. So it was an interesting discussion, but I would say of that group, the smart guy, that's who I want. Football-wise.
What about prototypical football on the field? Does anybody fit Vic Fangio's scheme from that perspective? I think based on what I saw last year, he has success with uber athletic guys that are versatile. You know, you could see it with Jalex even as a good example of a guy that was supposed to be developmental and contributed to some extent in year one. Nolan Smith is a little undersized, but an athletic guy. You go back to, you know, Andrew Van Ginkle. He loves guys like that. Zach Bond is athletic. That's what I look at. Now, I know that's not the only type of guy that he works with, but those are the guys I look for at the edge, at least right now. And maybe I'm wrong to do that. Is there anybody on the football field or football style that you look for that would fit with Vic Fangio?
Well, I mean, you got to be athletic to play football. But and well, obviously that
you know what I mean. Some people,
the Jalen Carters and but I, you know, Zach's a good example. He moved Zach because of his football IQ. He thought he had the instincts to play all ball linebacker. So obviously he got the athleticism. So it is. Yeah, I think it's more about and with somebody like Jalen Carter, and I put him in a different category because he's so gifted, you know. You're going to have to screw up. And Vic said that you're going to have to screw that up. You know, I mean, anybody, he's going to be good with anybody. That's how good he is. But there aren't a lot of players like that. And for the other ones, I think it's more important that, yeah. And you bring up Jalex, is a very smart guy. Nolan's a very high football IQ guy. They all have that. Van Ginkle, you go outside the Oregon, tremendously high football IQ guy. I think that's the bigger deal, because his defense is complicated. It's more complicated, and it's funny because it's simple to play, but it's complicated in the frame of what you're asking the players to do versus what typically they like to do, which is just go pin their ears back and go a million miles an hour. That's why, you know, Sidney Brown's got to learn to tamper down on, you know, and be more disciplined. So it's not like it's sitting here and saying, you know, you got to be a rocket scientist. But in a football sense, you have to understand situations. Like a lot of guys, everybody assumes that of quarterbacks, and with quarterbacks, it's kind of built in. You got to know how the whole offense plays. You got to know how everything fits. You have to know the why. Everybody understands that because of the position. Same thing's the case on defense, in Vic's defense. like typically defensive linemen in most schemes, I would say 95% of schemes, they have no idea what the back end's doing. That's not, they don't care. It's not their job. With Bic, it's part of their job because they can only do certain things depending on what coverage he's called, depending on what formation is on the offense. So that's why I say the high football IQ guys.
Right. Makes sense. Gotta be able to consume or adapt to what Vic is asking you to do. We'll see how it ends up in the NFL draft. Should be interesting. Just 30 days away. As I mentioned, Eagles are sitting at 32 and 64 in round number two. We'll see if they shake and bake. We've talked a lot about John, a trade back. Cause I think it's likely. I mean, that's what the Eagles will do, especially if there's quarterbacks that are sitting there that teams are interested in, can maybe maximize, you know, trading out of that pick. But can we bring some clarity? I know we've talked about this before, but I want to bring more clarity to it. What do you get? Okay. Because I see people trade back, get another second round pick. I'm like, I don't think you're getting another second round pick. You might get a day three pick. And then a mid second rounder, you know, back from obviously you're trading back and then add a day three pick on top of it or something like that. That's in my head what I think you would get. I don't know how far off I am. John, what do you think they would get if they trade back? Let's say they trade back to 40, where they picked Cooper DeJean last year. You know, what type of assets are you going to get back for that?
Well, it depends on the player. If it's a position player, you're getting less. Then if it's a quarterback, and that's why everybody's hyper-focused on quarterback at 32 overall because it's happened, you know, that's sort of like the spot where if you like a guy at the end of the draft, you want the fifth-year option from the team trading, so then you can get some more. As I said, teams are willing, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, you know, at the time the Kansas City got destroyed because they're like, what are you doing? You know, Trey Lance, which didn't work out. What are you doing? But they're willing to give up more for a quarterback than a traditional position player. So that's number one. If you go back to 2018, the Eagles traded down from 32 to 52. All right. What'd they do? They gave, they traded their second round. They traded their first round selection. So that was 32nd overall. And a fourth rounder, which was 132 to Baltimore, in change for 52, in exchange for 52 in the second round. So he went down to 52. They got a fourth round pick back. So they got 125. So really, all they did, they moved up seven spots in the fourth round. And they got a future second round pick, which is
valuable.
Valuable.
Right.
And Howie has always considered that a market inefficiency in the NFL because most teams do not value future picks as much as they value current picks. It's understandable because most GMs are not in concrete situations like the New York Giants would be. They can't worry about the future. Joe Shane can't worry about the future. He doesn't have a future. Unless he has a present.
Right.
Howie he can do different things. Interestingly, Baltimore is a very stable organization. So right. They still gave it up for a quarterback, though. A quarterback. You ain't getting that for a position player.
That's I'm telling my you, point. I said it yesterday on the show. The Eagles should be boosting PR money into boosting up the draft stocks of Jalen Milrow, Jackson Dart, and the rest of the quarterbacks in the class because, I don't know, I heard a little bit of rumblings, John, that people like Jalen Milrow now and might take a chance on him. He's meeting with Pittsburgh. I'm like, I wouldn't do it, but you never know with
I wouldn't do it either, but, you know, yeah, it's not a big, you know, if somebody wants a quarterback, you can get something valuable. Somebody wants a defensive end, you know, you can get something valuable from your standpoint, but not nearly as bad. You're not getting a second round pick unless they're coming up to get a quarterback. So if you look at the traditional trade chart, 32 was worth 590. So you said 40 is worth 500. So you're getting 90 points in back in theory on paper. That's an early fourth round pick.
Early fourth rounder is worth 90.
Yeah. So you're talking about fourth round, not second round. Now quarterback changes the equation. This still would probably have to be future second round, but quarterback changes the equation. No, and that's why it's about, pumping up Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Hey, I've seen people say the Giants are going to take Jackson Dart if they can't get a quarterback early and trade back.
The Giants should take Shedeur Sanders.
The Giants should disband and start over. Because they're screwed.
Because that option has been ruled out officially by the Maras, they should take Shedeur Sanders. I think so. I'm surprised you're not a little bit higher on him.
No, they're screwed. They could have gotten a quarterback last year. They didn't do it.
Yeah,
and now they're stuck and they have to quarterback. And don't get me wrong, they're probably going to take him. And it's going to screw up their organization for 5 or 10. Not that he's a bad player. He could develop, but you're talking about the New York Giants. Again, I'm playing the odds when I say this. So yeah. I know people are, McMullen said he can't be a good player. No, if he got in the right situation in 2 or 3 years and they developed him properly, maybe he can turn into a – I saw a comparison. I think it was DJ compared him to Brock Purdy, a seventh-round pick.
Oh, DJ did that because I saw Ian. That's what our boy Ian Cummings did as well.
Maybe Ian, I don't know. It was one of the guys I trust. Maybe it was Ian. So from a trade standpoint, not you know, and Brock Purdy, by the way, is very successful. But again, look who he's with. You know, with Kyle Shanahan and a very good team and what has been a very good team and a very good organization. That's not the New York Giants right now. It's not worthy of being a top five pick from a physical standpoint. That's what I'm saying. But they have to take him because they're a dumb organization with a dumb owner who has put them in this situation where he's got lame ducks who are GMing for their jobs, like I was saying, and they can't do what they want to do. Right. And maybe they're so dumb they would do the wrong thing. And I know everybody will pile on Joe.
Well, maybe this situation works for the Giants because if they did what they wanted to do, it wouldn't work out anyway.
Well, yeah, people would say that because of Saquon. But that was the right decision. I say it all the time.
Oh, yeah, I don't think about that. Yeah, I agree.
Now, the Eagles fan, what are you talking about? You really think Saquon's running for 2,500 yards with the New York Giants last year? Come on.
They did decide to pay Daniel Jones and then move off of him the next year and had like four or five games into the year. I mean, they're not making good decisions outside of Saquon either.
But the point is he was there for 6 years.
No, I know. I'm not disagreeing with you. If I were the Giants GM, I probably wouldn't have signed Saquon Barkley back either because it wouldn't work there.
They weren't prepared for a running back. They shouldn't have taken him in the first place.
Yeah.
And they weren't prepared to take advantage of a good running back. The Eagles were. That's why it worked here. Things can make sense in one situation and not make sense in another situation. That seems very difficult for people to understand. So for people that – all I'm trying to say by bringing that up is people that, we'll always make the wrong decision. No, that was the right decision. Not paying Daniel Jones was the wrong decision. And they should have seized the moment and taken whomever they liked, whether it was trading up to get Drake May, who I heard they liked, whether it was, you know, making sure they got J.J. McCarthy, who they also liked, or even Penix or Bo Nix. That's what they should have done. That was a chance to seize the moment and get a quarterback. Now, I don't necessarily believe in McCarthy or Penix or Bo Nix gave some really positive signs as a rookie, and I'm sure he's going to be fine. I don't know. He's going to be a star, but I'm sure he's going to be fine. Either way, all of them would be better options at quarterback than Shedeur Sanders. And now they have to take Shedeur Sanders at, they might even have to trade up at 2 or 3. It's just awful. Awful. Awful roster management to be in that situation.
No,
but you can say the same thing about Tennessee. Because Cam Ward's a legit first round pick, but he's probably, you know, he's probably should be 15-20, but they had to take him number one overall.
You got it. What are you gonna put your trust in Will Levis? Come on, I'm not seeing it with him.
Yeah, either am I, but I'm saying they're in a position where they have to take him.
Yeah.
That's exactly why the Eagles draft proof their roster. So you're not in that position. Now it's also why the Eagles are good and they don't have to make these crappy decisions. Usually you're at the top of the draft, not always, rare instances, but usually you're at the top of the draft on merit because you stink. I mean, how do you stink? You make a bunch of bad decisions.
So you wait, do you think Abdul Carter's going top 3?
No, probably not. Top 5, but...
Oh, so who do you think the Browns are going to take?
Well, that's... They might take Sanders. And then you start talking about another bad organization.
Right.
Bad decisions.
It's a shame because I thought Andrew Berry...
I think Andrew does a decent job with contracts and that kind of stuff. But their problem is the owner and the contract with the quarterback and all that kind of stuff. They actually had a pretty good roster.
They went to the playoffs at Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. So I wouldn't put them quite in the same category. And I would say Sanders has a better shot in Cleveland because they have a guy who understands quarterback play at least. And not that Brian Daboll doesn't, so I shouldn't say that because he does as well, but I just would be more trusting of Cleveland as a whole than the New York Giants.
We'll see what they end up doing. We'll see what they all do in the top 5. You got Tennessee, Cleveland, New York Giants. Then you have New England.
And they're not taking a quarterback. So, you know, 4 or 5 is where you start talking about the positional players. I'm sure the Giants are trying to jockey to get up.
How about the Jets sitting at 7?
Yeah, they might have
Raiders at 6.
Think about where they are. I mean, think about these teams. Tennessee, the Giants, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, the Jets, Carolina. It's just, who can you trust to make a good decision?
No, you can't trust any of them. Honestly, the one I trust to make a decision is Andrew Berry.
Exactly. Cleveland. At least.
Abdul Carter would go there because I
got a good friend who's a New York Jets fan. I don't know if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. You're not a TV fan. But there was a great episode where Larry David has a friend named Carl who loves the Jets so much, and they're so terrible. And eventually, it was the year Le'Veon Bell got hurt, and he was so upset, he died. And the Jets killed Carl was the whole premise of it.
Oh,
because
man,
he had went through his whole life just with constant disappointment. And I'm sitting, and I can't help thinking about that. Every single and there's a team that is hitching their wagon to Justin Fields at quarterback. If Carl could come back to life, the Jets would kill Carl again.
I hate to see it. Look, we got Frank Dolo in the chat, our resident Jets fan, who pops up. He says, "Not us," with a laughing face. He's Frank, you took in some strays this morning, brother. I apologize. We appreciate you being here on Birds 365, though. All right, Johnny Mac, good stuff. We'll see.
Hopefully the Jets don't kill Frank. Take it, you know, it's not the end of the world.
I don't think so. Frank's laughing in the chat. He's watching an Eagle show because it's a little happier over in these parts. Frank is not Carl. He's in a good spot, I can tell. But you look at the rest of that top 10. John mentioned Carolina. New Orleans picks number 9. Could they take a quarterback? I could see it. And then you have Chicago at number 10. So it's 1 Tennessee, 2 Cleveland, 3 Giants, 4 New England, 5 Jacksonville, 6 Raiders, 7 Jets, 8 Panthers, 9 Saints, 10 Bears. So those are your top 10 picks. And then you get into some of our rivals. San Francisco picks at 11, Dallas picks at 12. So we'll see what they do at 11 and 12. But good stuff, Johnny Mac. We'll see how the board shakes out. I got a feeling the run on quarterbacks will happen. They could all – there three could go in that top 10. Are the Saints going to take a quarterback? Does Kellen Moore want a quarterback?
Who are you going to take?
I don't know. Jackson Dart.
Boy. I mean, this is just not a quarterback draft. And Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are going. But, again, if this were last year, you don't even start talking about Cam Ward till Drake May's gone. So, fourth, potentially. And you can make a strong argument that he shouldn't even have went fourth of the group last year. Sanders, no, all six. He starts at seven. And the rest of them, you know, you could argue they're day three picks. But they're not going to be. And that's a situation where you don't want to be in. You don't want to be in. But bad teams are in it. And they're desperate. You know. I just made fun of the Jets. Now I'll defend them. Yeah, I'd rather have Justin Fields than Dart or Milrow.
I don't know if I can go there. I don't know.
He's got top tier physical gifts. You know,
if you're going to say that, then shit, just draft Jalen Milrow with your second round pick.
Well, he's the most physically gifted of this group, but he's not Justin Fields.
He's more physically gifted than Fields.
I don't think so. That dude is. I'm just talking athletic.
True. Yeah,
athletic. Purely athletic. I mean, he processes with a sundial. So I mean, that's his problem.
I'm not saying that ain't true. I'm talking about strictly athleticism because Justin Fields. I mean, come on, he's not the best at playing the quarterback position either.
No, no, he's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'd rather have him with at least some experience than any of the second-tier quarterbacks in this draft.
Where's Frank Dolo? Is he in? Frank, are you still in here? Would you rather have Justin Fields start or Jalen Milrow start? All right. We'll see what Frank has to say about that. Johnny Mac, good first segment here talking about the draft. Talked about Kendall Lamb, all right, who's been signed to the Eagles offensive tackle, newest offensive tackle in the room, 32-year-old former undrafted guy. So we'll see what he adds to the room, to the depth in that room. We got two good segments coming up. All right, get ready, everybody, because fireworks might go in the chat, on the show. You never know. We're going to talk a little Jalen Hurts, a little Eagles offense, a 2025 preview. What's it got to look like? What has to change this year? We'll talk about all of that on the show, and that could create some conversation in the chat as well. And then one other segment I want to get to today, I want to talk about N'Kobe Dean, okay? What is N'Kobe Dean's outlook in Philly? I know it's a tough conversation coming off that injury, but unfortunately I think it's bleak for N'Kobe because of the injury at the timing. I think it's a tough one for him. So we'll talk about those two things coming up soon here on Birds 365. Any super chats we get, we will read. So appreciate all of you guys for being here. Don't forget to hit that like button. You guys have been excellent all off season long, just 30 days away from the NFL draft. So hit that like button. We'll be right back on Birds 365.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big
money. This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also, that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.